When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 346 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Angela Carney. Thanks, Angela.
Thank you, Angela.
Today, we will be discussing part one of chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Godric's Hollow.
Woo, 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 woo.
Made that sound like a sitcom or something. Like that was like when the name reveals on the TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Back to my roots.
La, 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 la. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/Swish Flickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
It's time for the Ranger Girl!
If anyone had Tiff blares out the mic, mark that off.
Your bingo card.
No. We'll do it next time. Nobody say anything.
Okay. So the trio have just overheard that the sword of Gryffindor at Hogwarts is fake. Hermione took out Phineas Nigellus's portrait and blindfolded him so that they could ask questions about Ginny and the others, and they also ask about the sword. Huge news drop. The sword can destroy Horcruxes.
Why is that?
It's impregnated with basilisk venom.
It is.
It takes on that, which makes it stronger.
Brand new information for everybody during this read. Oh, Jinx, Kaylee, you owe me a Coke.
That needs to be a clip that's on our fancy new mixer. Just hit the button.
Unhinged laugh. It's the Bobies.
They time stamp that. Time stamp that, Mia.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I was very into my notes this weekend. We're getting to like the meaty bits for sure.
The fancy feast.
There's gravy involved.
Yamics. Temptations. Nine lives.
Yeah.
Blue buffalo.
Science diet. That's what Fozzie eats. Allergies.
Purina One. That's what my boys eat.
Milk bone.
Have you ever had a milk bone? I have.
Why?
I don't know. They're not bad.
What happened in the chapter, Tiffany?
You ever eat a dog biscuit?
We're done talking about milk bones.
Okay. I just wanted to know if she could get water.
There's more out there, you guys. We just have to believe in ourselves. Oh, more pet names? Pet food names? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'll just randomly blurt them throughout the
Okay, episode. Deal. All right. So what had happened was Harry woke up the following morning and he was really hoping that that whole fight didn't actually happen.
Tiki cat. That's a good one.
Teddy hated that one. He tried to cover it up because he thought it was stinky.
He did. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know how to continue. yeah. So he was hoping that the fight didn't happen and that when he like looked over, he was going to see Ron in his bunk asleep like it was a bad dream. And he felt really childish for thinking like that. But I don't feel like that's childish. No. Yeah. I feel like I've woken up and wished some things weren't real before in my life. And I think it's just being hopeful and being sad and feeling your feelings, which we should all do. Don't push your feelings down into the meaty bits of the cat food, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Keep it all Purina, guys. So Harry laid there and stared at Ron's empty bunk for a little bit, and like it's described as like a dead body, like you can't peel your eyes away, and
that is so true.
You're looking and mourning, and it just draws your eye. Mm-hmm. And so finally he'd had enough, and he had to get up, and he kept telling himself to kind of make himself believe that this is true. It's solidified. Ron is gone. He's literally gone. He's not going to come back. He can't at this point because, you know, they don't know anything about the Deluminator and what it actually does. So at this point in time, there's literally no way for him to return. And Hermione is already up. She's busying herself. And she's a grieving girl after my own heart. I don't wallow, much like Rory Gilmore. It takes me a long time to, like, actually, like, sit. I feel my feels best through doing things. Like, I have to do other things to take my mind off grieving. I don't just sit there with it. There's no wallowing.
Do a little bit of both.
I have found that my appetite disappears, which is very unlike me because I'm always hungry usually. And I have to like just keep doing stuff to kind of function.
Yeah. If my appetite is ever gone, I'm real stressed about something, yeah. You know, or upset about something.
What about you?
You did that on purpose.
What just happened? I didn't make you not pay attention to conversation. So let's start over.
You did that on purpose. You did. I can see it in your little eyes. Well, I can see it in your eyes. You're like, what about you? I don't know. What were we talking about?
God.
I don't even know anymore.
How do you grieve?
Yeah, how you grieve.
Oh, like, how do I grieve?
Tiffany said she grieves better by, like, doing things.
Yeah.
Instead of wallowing. I said I do a little bit of both.
I just turn to comfort things. Mm. Like, when we lost Iggy, I started a reread of Harry Potter. Because I just, like, Sorcerer's Stone. Because I just, like, needed that. Oh. And then, like, I just wanted, like, mac and cheese and chicken tenders. And to be, like, in my favorite space with my favorite people.
Yeah. Like right I definitely here. Had wallow times, and then I was like, I need to get up and do something and take my mind off of it.
But I don't,
sitting and doing nothing always makes me feel like trash.
I don't wallow usually, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, you don't wallow.
I also like don't cry.
Everyone grieves differently. There's nothing wrong with that.
It takes a lot for me to cry. Yeah,
I cry enough for the both of us.
I did sob at the vet. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It was one of those like, you know that it's going to come, but you're going to try and suppress it anyway. And then it just like bursts out of you type of sob. Yeah. That's usually what happens to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Blah. That's what happens. And then the vet came in and I was like, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
And then I have to laugh about it because that's also how I grieve.
We jinxed our yes.
Tiffany.
I'm so good today.
You are. You're on it.
I don't mean to interrupt your grieving process story, but I did get a Coke.
It's all right.
If we don't add humor in, we'll just sit and cry. So
literally.
I know.
Yeah, chicken fingers are acceptable.
What? What about chicken fries? I love chicken fries.
I love chicken fries.
Anybody who is not in Discord, so thousands of listeners just hear, yeah, chicken fingers.
Oh, sorry. Mia said, would chicken fingers be acceptable?
As what?
Comfort food.
As a comfort food.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because I said chicken tendies.
I like tendies.
I kind of consider those the same thing.
Yeah, same. So do I, yeah. But I like to call them tendies because it's more fun. Fingers freaks me out. I get like an image of like a wing with some fingers on it. I don't like that. Anyways, yes, Dino Nuggets forever.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't even know what's going on. Anyways, so Hermione's grieving. And
it's not funny.
As she's like busying herself about inside the tent, she turns her face away from Harry every single time to hide what she looks like. And I think we can all assume, because of later on, Harry describes her as like red and puffy eyes, obviously not sleeping and crying all night. So they eat breakfast in silence. She's unable to hide from him now. And, you know, she's been crying all night. And I think that I probably would as well, given what happened.
Yeah.
She does not have the emotional range of a teaspoon.
No. She sure doesn't.
She's feeling guilty for talking behind Harry's back. Guilty for staying. Because he's gone and the things that he said. And he expected her to go because of their relationship and where they're at. So she feels like she's abandoned him. He's out there unsafe during a wartime and wanted. I mean, I know people think he's sick with Spattergoit, but I don't know if they're like actually that dumb.
Right.
Never know.
So she's feeling a lot of different feelings at the moment. And the scene is incredibly sad. Quote, several times he saw her look up eagerly. He was sure she had deluded herself into thinking that she heard footsteps through the heavy rain. But no red-haired figure appeared between the trees. Every time Harry imitated her, looked around, for he could not help hoping a little himself, and saw nothing but rain-swept woods, another little parcel of fury exploded inside him. He could hear Ron saying, "We thought you knew what you were doing." And he resumed packing with a hard knot in the pit of his stomach. This is really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm reading Sorcerer's Stone with Alana, and the writing from Sorcerer's Stone to Deathly Hallows, the growth is literally insane.
It is. We just started a reread of Sorcerer's Stone together, me and Katie.
It's like, what about that is not poetic?
You know
what I mean? It's just beautifully written. And that's just so sad. Like, he feels like he is absolutely letting them down in this life or death situation. Mm-hmm. And it's not even his fault.
No, and he's doing everything that he can, everything he knows what to do. I feel really bad.
He already has the weight of the entire Wizarding World upon his shoulders.
Right, he didn't need this from his best friends, too.
Right, that's, like, their opinion matters absolutely much more than the entirety of the Wizarding World to him.
Yeah.
And he feels like he's disappointing them. And he feels disappointed himself, too, because he's like, I don't know what I'm doing, and who should I be mad at, myself, Ron, Dumbledore, like, I feel bad.
Voldemort? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Realistically, the answer is Voldemort.
True.
But yeah.
So they can't linger any longer. The river is rising with all this rain. It's also not safe to stay in one place for too long. Hermione takes her time packing, though. She's obviously waiting for Ron to show up, being hopeful. She repacks the beaded bag 3 times.
See that?
I see that. Mm-hmm. I saw you prep.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no more reason to delay, so they finally disapparate to a hillside. And that's it, guys. That's it. Ron has no way of finding them again. Not with their protections, not with their constant moving locations to stay safe. And this realization that's unsaid between the both of them hits them incredibly hard. Quote, the instant they arrived, Hermione dropped Harry's hand and walked away from him. I might cry. Okay. Finally sitting down on a large rock, her face on her knees, shaking with what he knew were sobs. He watched her, supposing that he ought to go and comfort her, but something kept him rooted to the spot. Everything inside him felt cold and tight. Again, he saw the contemptuous expression on Ron's face. Harry strode off through the heather, walking in a large circle with the distraught Hermione at its center, casting spells she usually performed to ensure their protection. Like, can you see that? Like, mm-hmm. Picture that.
I know. It's sad.
And Ron's haunting voice keeps coming in. And he already has the pressure on him that he's literally the only person that can finish this.
Right.
And at this time, doesn't know whether or not he'll survive, but he will absolutely die trying, not knowing that he has to walk to his own death.
Yeah.
In order to make it happen. And like having your best friend say this over and over, it's like trying to put toothpaste back inside the tube. Mm-hmm. And people from the 90s, man, when we were growing up, you know, sticks and stones, words will never hurt me, whatever. Bull hockey. Mm-hmm. I almost said a word. That's not true. And you can't take back what you say. You can ask for forgiveness. You can try and make amends. But at the end of the day, words absolutely matter and mean something. And they stick with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will have random things that were said by, I don't know, random people, whether it was an anger or whatever it was, and like unbidden pops in my head and I'm like, oh, and it makes me feel like it made me feel then. And I'm like, it's been years. Why? Like, chill out, brain, you know, but like it happens and it sticks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
You may have tried to move on.
Yeah.
You may have tried to forget. You may have forgiven the person for those things that they said, but at the end of the day, you can't take them back. You know?
Mm-hmm. You never know what's going to stick with someone too. You know, it could be something really nice as well. Like, you have no idea what you say that's going to be like, that person remembers this for the rest of their lives.
Right.
Unfortunately, my brain usually just cycles through all of the mean things that have been said to me though.
Uh-huh.
And that's the problem though. You know, like
and it hurts worse when it's someone that you consider to be a friend.
Somebody so you like love and care about.
Yeah. Yeah. So like to Harry, this is like one of the worst feelings in the world. I mean, like, Ron is like family to him.
Yeah. Yeah. Closest thing that he's got. And so Harry notes that some nights, so days are passing, and some nights when Hermione thinks that he's sleeping, he can hear her crying. And so they both throw themselves into this work, right? Trying to determine the location of Gryffindor's sword now that they know that it's a Horcrux destroyer and that there's a fake.
What a cool sword name. Horcrux destroyer.
I would name it that. And all the places that they have discussed seem so far-fetched to him. You know, he doesn't necessarily. I mean, he knows in his heart that like the orphanage is not going to be a place.
Yeah.
He thinks Hogwarts, but everybody's been no. You know, they're so down on Hogwarts because Dumbledore would have known. No, come on. And he's trying his best to remember if Dumbledore had told him the place of where maybe he would have hidden something. And once again, Ron's cruel words are in the back of his head this whole time. We thought you knew what you were doing. We thought Dumbledore told you what to do. We thought you had a real plan. So not only, like, we've talked about this, words matter. They keep coming in. And like you said, like, something will pop into your head that somebody has said to you and you're like, ooh, that's disgusting. Why am I remembering this right now? And so like in these times where he's trying to do this work and figure this out, he's doubting himself. And then here's Ron's words.
Just doubling down.
And, you know, it's a toss-up, really, at this moment in time of who Harry is more angry with, whether it's Ron or Dumbledore. And in his heart of hearts, he thinks that he can't deny that Ron is right in some capacity. Dumbledore left him with nothing to go on. Even though we know that Dumbledore thought he had more time to get some of this work done, but he shouldn't have treated it like he did have time. As soon as his hand got sick, he should have said, whoops, let me tell you some
nightly
more
lessons.
And even if he would have said, I didn't know for sure, his guesses are usually right.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So they discovered one Horcrux. They're nowhere near destroying it. All the other Horcruxes are unknown locations, and some of the items used also might be unknown. We know that the cup is one, but we're not sure where it is at this point, right? We don't know for sure.
Right, he knows that from the memories, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so Harry's getting so down on himself.
Down bag, crying in the tent.
Everything comes up teenage petulance.
Please make that the title of this episode. That was amazing. I'm proud of you. Quote, he's staggered now to think of his own presumption in accepting his friend's offer to accompany him on this meandering, pointless journey.
Harry.
So down. He knew nothing. He had no ideas. And he was constantly painfully on the alert for any indication that Hermione, too, was about to tell him that she had had enough and that she was leaving.
That would be a sick knot of anxiety in my stomach the whole time.
And he's feeling it.
I would just be waiting.
It's been days. It's been days. Dreading the worst in this, having these thoughts constantly, also made worse by one Horcrux locket.
Ron should have taken it with him.
That's also like just the recipe for a panic attack. I'm surprised Harry never had one, like a real one.
On page.
Yeah.
I think he had, you ever have a panic attack, but you're still like doing life?
Oh yeah.
I think he had one walking into the forest.
Yeah.
His heart feels as if it's trying to escape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And he's thinking all these things. I feel like he had one. He's just, his brain and heart are doing one thing, but his body is going through the motions of just, this is what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like your subconscious.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. But, yeah, I mean.
No, truly.
Megan with an H said, do you think that passing out from the Dementors was kind of a panic attack? Possibly.
Like in three?
Yeah.
Could have been.
Some form of it, true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they were spending many evenings pretty much just in silence because that is just how they were grieving this change in their dynamic right now.
He also is on edge. When are you going to leave?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything wrong.
Yep. So Hermione had started bringing out Phineas Nigellus's portrait.
What up, Finny?
It was a way to get some news and also some company, but like her starting to do this seemed kind of random to me. I don't know.
It was a little random.
Like, if you wanted it as a way to get news, why weren't you doing it even before? Like, what was Ron leaving was the trigger for you doing that? Like, it's just kind of weird. I mean, I know it's a plot point that needed to be, you know.
Pushed forward,
but it just seemed a little bit random to me. But they do learn that Snape is facing a constant low level of mutiny from a hardcore of students. That Ginny had been banned from Hogsmeade. That Snape had reinstated Umbridge's decree forbidding gatherings of three or more students.
Dude, he hates her. That's hilarious.
Snape Ginny?
No, Snape. Well, I mean, maybe. But he hates Umbridge. Oh. So he probably got, Filch probably kept all the little framed decrees and was like, which one do you want?
He probably did.
My God. They're probably decorating whatever room he occupies,
a little closet.
Mm-hmm. And Harry was guessing that based on this information that Ginny, Neville, and Luna seem to maybe be trying to continue Dumbledore's army, which is true.
Gotta love that. That was silver a good trio. Guess.
Yeah. But I feel so bad for Harry here because he talks about how he, quote, experiences a split second of madness because he's like, this is another way of grieving. Like, he's grieving what he had at Hogwarts, even though he knows that, like, he can't have it right now.
This part is so freaking sad.
I know. So I just copy-pasted this from the book because it is written well. He imagined simply going back to school to join the destabilization of Snape's regime. Being fed and having a soft bed and other people being in charge seemed the most wonderful prospect in the world at that moment. But then he remembered that he was undesirable, number one, that there was a 10,000 galleon price on his head, and that to walk into Hogwarts these days was just as dangerous as walking into the Ministry of Magic. So he just, I mean, he's stuck doing what he's doing, even though he doesn't want to. And I feel bad for him.
Other people being in charge thing.
I know.
He's 17 years old.
Yeah. I, too, would want someone else to be in charge.
Wait. Sirius had 10,000 galleon reward offered.
Really?
Do you know how much it is in Muggle money?
I was going to look it up, but I saw you doing it.
In dollar bills, y'all.
How much?
250,000 smackers.
$250,000.
Dang.
Quarter.
Hello, Swishers. I started taking Hormone Harmony because I was feeling a little bit down and off and experiencing some bad sleep quality. Also having cravings and bloating, but now it's easier to manage PMS with Hormone Harmony. It helps to support hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and it also improves sleep quality and occasional bloating and gas. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So there were a couple times Phineas tried to ask them about their whereabouts, but like anytime he did this, Hermione just shoved him back in her bag and then he would be upset about it and he wouldn't like come back for a few days after that. And they just kept hopping everywhere. Like they were traveling everywhere. They went into the country. They went into the mountainside. They went into a marsh. They were on an island.
Why'd you stay in a marsh?
I would be like, this is not right. Let's go somewhere else.
I have a real life question. Oh, go on if you're gonna finish.
I was just gonna say it's described. It's described to at the marsh that like they wake up with like water in the tent.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Impervious. Hello.
True.
How do they know to get to these places? Because like you have to know your destination to operate.
I mean, Hermione probably did a little bit of traveling,
but like it seems like rando spots, which is that's where they should be going, so they don't get caught. But like, a mountainside.
Maybe she did some research before.
I mean, maybe they know a mountain name.
Can you, but don't you have to, like, picture the place? Can you, like, look in a book?
That's what I was thinking.
Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow.
But as long as you see it, even if it's a picture of it, can you apparate there?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know. There's no location based in there in your brain, though. Or can you look at a map and be like, right deal?
Yeah, maybe like Hermione right looked deal. At maps or something.
Right deal is when I'm going to go.
I was just curious. That's a good question, though. Well, it's a marsh, Tiffany. I learned that in like second grade. Environments.
They're called habitats.
Yeah, you're right.
It also talked about like all the different types of weather that they went through, though, too. So like on the mountainside, there was sleet hitting against the tent, and the marshes where it like flooded. The island in the middle of a Scottish loch, they got like completely buried in snow.
Did Nessie monster? Visit them?
That was almost a jinx.
I don't know. I don't know which lock it was.
Was it of Ness?
I don't know. They started seeing Christmas trees everywhere as well. So, like, one of the spots that they went to, Hermione snuck off to a supermarket under the invisibility cloak and got spaghetti bolognese and tinned pears.
I love that she leaves money. Yes. I certainly would not.
I would
it's
not.
Adorable.
Either.
I'd be like, you know what I'm doing for this world?
I also
I'm
wouldn't
taking
eat
some candy.
I would fill my arms.
Yes. Why would you go in there just to steal one meal?
Dumb.
No Especially way, when you have a bottomless bag, you dummy.
I'd be holding that obese
just
bag,
saying.
Walking down the
I know,
aisle.
I know, I'd be like, oh, literally. I would open that beaded bag and fill the freaking store.
How heavy do you think that bag can weigh, like at max?
Yeah, and I don't know.
For the carrier.
I wonder if it's like D&D where it has like a weight limit.
Because like Newt's got a whole freaking world inside of his suitcase.
Yeah.
And some Annie males. Creatures. Have you?
Man.
They also both. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Like, imagine all the gushers you could fit in there.
Oh, so many gushers.
Gushers.
High chews.
Oh, yeah, high chews.
Fruit roll ups.
Airheads. Sweethearts.
I'd like some chips, though. You know?
Tinned pears.
No.
Tinned
I'm
mandarin
not a pear
oranges.
Girl.
Wait, do they not say canned over there? Do they say tinned?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let's learn that.
So they also both take a break from wearing the Horcrux, and I said, good idea, mates. Should have done that a little earlier.
Mates!
Put it in the stupid thing on Harry's neck.
Truly, though. Like, no one else can get into it except Harry. Hello?
Hello?
Get into
you
what?
You literally are maybe, carrying a solution around with you.
Maybe Ron wouldn't have left.
For real. Anyway.
So really, Harry should be mad at Harry.
Yeah.
I'm sure he hates himself a little bit.
Oh,
well, he does.
I know.
Hermione. Hermione was, again, reading the tales of Beetle the Bard when Harry thought now was as good a time as ever to ask about Godric's Hollow again. But Hermione was super focused on something else.
I love that he feels like he has to get permission for this. I would be like, we're going to Godric's Hollow.
Yep. I know.
Right? That's kind of, I didn't think about that. So, Hermione tells Harry, look at that symbol. She's pointing to this symbol that's at the top of the page in her Beetle the Bard book. And it looks like a triangular eye with the pupil crossed with a vertical line.
It's a cat eye.
It's a cat eye. You're right. And Harry's like, I never took ancient runes. And she's like, yeah, I know that.
Like, shut up.
She's like, it isn't a rune. It's not in, how do you say that word?
Huh?
The syllabary?
Syllabary.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if it was like syllabary. Basically, her rune well, translation syllabary. Textbook, right? It's not in there either. So it's not like she just doesn't know about it. And she thought that it was a picture of an eye, but then realized that it was inked into the book. So it's not actually part of the book. And she wants to know if he's seen this sort of symbol anywhere before. go Harry for having steel trap memory, because I don't, and I would have been like, nope, and that would have been the end of that. But he remembers that that's the symbol that Luna's dad was wearing around his neck at the wedding, and I guess Hermione had been thinking of that too, so she had noticed it. And Harry immediately says, well, that's Grindelwald's mark. And she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, Crumb told me it was carved on the wall at Durmstrang and Grindelwald put it there. So Hermione, of course, has done research on Grindelwald, like, just as she's read, like, the entirety of the Hogwarts library, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, I've never heard of him having a mark. Quote, that's very odd. If it's a symbol of dark magic, what's it doing in a book of children's stories? And Harry wonders, too, why Scrimgeour wouldn't have recognized it. He's the head of the Auror's office, the minister, so he should know all about dark magic. But that's the thing. Like, it's not a sign of dark magic at all, because what they were using it for wasn't the same as, like, Voldemort's dark mark, you know? Like, it was just, yeah. Like, first of all, it wasn't
I wonder
their
if he
mark.
Even knew that. Because if you think about it, like, Scrimgeour, to me, definitely isn't anywhere near as old as Dumbledore would have been. And so by right. the time that he reaches whatever position, you know, in the ministry, in the Auror's office, like, is that need to know information about a dark wizard that's already locked up?
Right.
You know what I mean? I personally would think that you should study the history because you tend to have it repeat. Oh, wait. Oh, look. There it is. Mm-hmm. Voldemort now. But like, nothing in the wizarding world seems to make sense sometimes. So
nothing makes sense.
Maybe he didn't know. But it does seem kind of silly. Like, did you see that and think that looks like Grindelwald's mark? Or did you just never know what it looked like because it was before your time?
Right. Like, a lot of people seem to not know about the Deathly Hallows. Like, it seems to be, like, very ancient lore for the wizarding world.
Ollivander doesn't, though.
Does he know? He knows about the Elder One.
He knows about the Elder
but
One.
Not the whole thing, which makes sense because his line of work would be wand lore. Yeah.
But isn't that interesting? Because he's old as stinking dirt. We can expect great things.
Not
from
just
you.
Dirt. Stinking dirt.
Stinking dirt. I just think it's interesting.
It is. So she continues to study this mark, and Harry has to work up the courage again to ask about Godric's Hollow. So he does. He blurts it out. Much better than when he tried to ask Cho out. He actually, like, strings proper words together. And her eyes are unfocused as she looks at him, but then she goes, yes, I'm wondering that too. I really think we'll have to. And Harry's like, did you hear what I asked? And Hermione's like, yeah, of course I did. She agrees. She says, I can't think of anywhere else it could be either. It'll be dangerous, but the more I think about it, the more likely it seems it's there. And Harry goes, what's there? Here's Hermione thinking about, like, the sword might be there, right?
Yeah.
Dumbledore must have known that Harry would want to go back to Godric's Hollow.
Hodrick's Gallow.
Hodrick's Gallow. That's exactly what I was going to say. And it's Godric Gryffindor's birthplace. I almost said a bad word. I poop you not. When I read this again, and Harry goes, really? Gryffindor came from Godric's Hollow? I thought he was being sarcastic. He's not.
I know.
He's not being sarcastic. I was like, and then I kept reading, and I was like, oh, Harry.
Oh, Harry.
And then we get a tiny little glimpse of, like, some happy, some teasing fun. Because Hermione's like, Harry, did you ever even open a history of magic? And it makes him smile for what he describes as possibly the first time in months. And his face muscles feel stiff because he hasn't been smiling. That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Takes more muscles to frown, bro.
Oh, my God. Gil says, can you imagine if Professor Binns mentioned it? Meaning
oh,
the
my
symbol,
God.
And no one remembered from class and how helpful that could have been.
That was during one of the times that, you know, Hermione was in the hospital wing or something.
Oh, my God.
Of course, she wasn't
probably.
Paying attention. So Harry's like, I may have opened it once when I bought it.
Oh, my God.
So Hermione wants to go because of the sword, and Harry hadn't even thought about it like that at all. He wants to go for personal reasons. I don't blame him. It's just, like, funny that they arrived at the conclusion they needed to get to, but, like, I don't know how.
For different reasons.
Yeah. So Hermione's like, yeah, the village is named after him, Godric Gryffindor. So I thought that you would have made the connection. And like, part of me is like, is she like, Lord, help me. I should have left with Ron. Like, this kid can't make connections like that. How are we going to find however many Horcruxes?
Oh, who knows?
But she, of course, has the book with her. And she gets it out of her beaded bag. She'll read from it next episode.
The next episode.
Give me sunlight and bull rounds.
Pew, pew. My children are very heavy-footed today.
Marguerite asks, do you think Phineas was super casual about asking for their location, or was he just straightforward?
So,
where are you?
Where you at? Where your boyfriend at? Is he big and strong? Have your number?
I feel like he was not super casual about it.
I don't think anything about
Phineas. I think he probably just, you know.
Where you at?
But you know, like Phineas.
Tell me your whereabouts.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I demanded at once. And I'd be like, beaded bag for you.
2 days.
Back in the bag. Mia asks, what?
What? Toy Story 2? No, 3. If anyone's out of line, they spend the night in the box. You remember that? Yeah. He says it like 100 times.
We get it, in the box.
We get it. Mia asks, we heard about Herman Harry's trash camping adventures. What would be your dream camping site location?
In a house? I don't like to camp.
In the Loch of Ness. No, I don't like camping.
I would enjoy glamping.
Yeah, I would glamp. Does it not include a tent? Does it include
a cabin? It's your dream camping location.
I don't know.
If I could glamp, I think that there are two locations I would go to.
Where would you go?
I would go to the Pacific Northwest, like in the national parks out there.
Like by that rock.
Like Mount Olympus. What?
The nice boulder. It's not a boulder. It's a
rock. Yeah, of Cannon Beach.
Yeah.
It's a rock.
Oh, do you remember that other rock we saw when we went back with your mom? We were driving.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, though. So like that was a really good story, but it was a cool rock.
Yeah. And then
it really rocked, you know.
I mean, I haven't been there yet, but I feel like I would dig glamping in Ireland.
I love Ireland. I can't wait to go back.
I feel like I could like glamp anywhere.
We're a month out today.
Yeah. You make me want to vomit.
Tiffany, it's your fault.
It is your fault.
Well,
basically, if Tiffany goes anywhere,
I think
me and Meg have FOMO and we're like, let's go. I want to go there. And then we book a trip.
I actually think we're going to probably be going back sooner than I thought.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And McKenna was just in Ireland, too.
Nice.
Oh, Megan with an H said that Taylor Swift's tour for the Petrus fam would be the ideal camping location. I would camp outside the stadium and listen to it.
Heck yeah.
I don't know where I'm camping. Ireland, Scotland.
Disneyland, Paris. Oh my god, William. Yes.
What?
He already has a mock-up.
He has a mock-up already.
Oh my gosh.
Send it!
Mac Energy asks, what meal could put you in a good enough mood to say yes to nearly anything?
What meal?
Prime-aged ribeye. Little horseradish on the side.
New York strip from Le Cellier in Canada.
Mashed taters and roasted Brussels sprouts with bacon and garlic and all that jazz.
My mac and cheese.
Short ribs.
The bomb.
Shut up, William.
I know, it looks really cool. Short ribs with mashed potatoes. Or
I love
chicken paprikash.
Ooh.
Short ribs are...
Amazing. Wait, he made you short ribs.
Who?
Martin.
Yeah, they were very good.
Yeah. William, I love it.
Kendra asks, if you were stuck in a tent with nothing to do, what would you find to pass the time?
Can I bring my Nintendo Switch?
Is this no. Fangirls podcast? No? I'll pick something else.
Oh.
Books.
Books.
Pet and Fozzie Bear.
Yep, snuggling Philly, reading some books.
Disney Candyland with my family.
Mm-hmm. Those all sound wonderful.
Mia, what's the American Muggle equivalent in real time life to believing in the Deathly Hallows? The Illuminati?
Maybe.
Yeah, or like the National Treasure. Yeah. National Treasure, the movie. Believing all that stuff.
Like I was thinking King.
I was thinking like Da Vinci Code.
Look! Oh, Da Vinci Code.
Oh no.
When did these turn on?
I turned them on when she I got up.
Oh, that one's out too.
Uh-oh, we need batteries.
We gotta change the batteries.
Okay, one more.
We need stronger magic.
McKenna, what would your symbol look like / what icons would it contain?
What would my symbol look like?
You mean like a Deathly Hallows symbol, like if we made a new one?
Be a cat. Praying cat. In my lap.
I'm a kitty cat.
Because it loves me.
Karma is a cat. A cat eye.
I don't know.
With a dog nose.
Ew, an eye with a nose?
I don't know. And a heart, because I love them both.
William, mock that one up.
Mine would be a triangle, but there'd be multiple circles because it'd be pepperoni pizza.
She doesn't care about you.
What? I was looking at the mock-up from William.
No, no.
Fancy Feast.
Yeah.
You'd
want a piece of pizza?
Be a triangle and would have multiple circles because it'd be pepperoni.
Okay.
And the line wouldn't be vertical, it'd be horizontal because that'd be the crust at the bottom.
All right. I'm down.
Pizza.
The deathly pizza.
Discord.
I didn't get the answer.
Oh, go ahead.
I don't know though.
I knew you didn't have an answer. That's why I was skipping you.
Yours would be an apple because you're a teacher.
Boo. A book with an apple.
How about a worm?
She goes boo and then agrees with you.
No, mine would be would be a castle.
No, it'd be a worm.
You know what I am for a castle.
You'd be a bookworm.
I don't like worms though.
Not even like cute little ones.
We are worms.
Cartoon worm? Yeah. With like googly eyes?
Or like that worm from Sesame Street.
How about Pain and Panic as worms?
What worm from Sesame Street?
There's a little stripy worm.
On Sesame Street?
Yeah, what's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, I was thinking of Richard Scarry.
Oh, my God. Okay, Discord discourse. Megan with an H said, is Horcrux Destroyer also a Transformer?
Sure.
Who?
It's whatever you want it to be.
Is Horcrux Destroyer also a Transformer?
It felt very, I'm going to name my blade.
I got to call Shia LaBeouf, find out.
There's what's that song about Shia LaBeouf?
It's scary though.
I don't know.
And then MJ said, "I mean, it is more than meets the eye. The Horcrux Destroyer."
The Horcrux connection.
Destroyer.
That. Do you have a story from a fan?
I do.
Give it to me.
Phonetic spelling in here. Blessings be upon us.
So this person's name is, and I hope I say it correctly, Samridhi, but said that we can call them Sam or Samantha.
Deal.
Hi, Megan, Katie, and Chief.
Hello.
Note, I am British and very, very awkward with emotions and being vulnerable, so this might seem a bit run-of-the-mill and dry.
No.
No.
You could never be run-of-the-mill like a giant name. Remember? When I named that giant, and I was like, it's just a run-of-the-mill giant.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
You know, giant name.
Pretty common.
My name is Samridhi, or Samantha, if that's easier. And this is my Potter story. I'm a proud Gryffindor with many, many, many Slytherin traits. I'm very happy and relieved to have. Slytherin has saved me from doing so many silly Gryffindor stuff.
My Patronus, those silly Gryffindors.
Whatever. My Patronus is a husky.
Idiots. I meant Gryffindors. Sorry, not the husky. That's really cute.
But Sam's a proud Gryffindor.
I know, you're right. Gryffindors are all okay. I love you.
They're okay.
I roll.
My wand is pine wood with a dragon core, 9 3/4 inches, and supple flexibility. I don't hear pine wood often. That's cool.
That is cool.
I am English, but I've been living in Canada for 6 years and found you guys during a really bad breakup with my doggy daddy. Mm. You ladies have gotten me through some tough times, and I love that I have found a family with you and plan to join the Patreon as soon as I am caught up. Woo. Finally on book 7 now. I found Harry Potter at age 10 in a library and randomly started reading Goblet of Fire.
No!
Oh my God, can you imagine coming in at Goblet of Fire?
Did you read all of it?
I had no idea what was happening, but the words captivated me. I identified a lot with Hermione and fell in love with Ron and Crumb. My father is in the army and we kept moving, so Harry Potter became my constant friend. I was going to read Game of Thrones.
Me too.
Goblet. Oh. I think it's supposed to be Goblet of Fire, right?
Yeah.
And was so confused, ran to the library and found Philosopher's Stone. And the rest is history.
Oh my God. You started with Cedric dying.
I know. Yeah. I need to know if you read it all the way through.
Are you okay?
Yeah, she did, because it says I finished.
Oh my God.
Oh my
God. My boy.
Get out. My parents used to hate how I would carry the Potter books with me to parties and people's houses and refuse to interact with, quote, real people. And it took a lot of convincing to let them allow me to go to the midnight release of Order of the Phoenix. Mm. But I got it and disappeared for 2 days to finish the book.
Good.
When the Deathly Hallows released, we were yet again in a new place, new school. I was 16 or 17 then. No friends, and I cried the whole day when my parents refused to buy the book for me, only to be surprised by my dad that he had pre-ordered it for me.
Aww.
That's like that night that I was out a little later than I meant to be and came home and Meg was mad at me and I couldn't tell her that I was late because I was picking out our engagement ring.
Yeah, that happened.
I bought a ticket to a random movie, gifted that to my sister, and locked myself in my room to read Deathly Hallows so she couldn't get her hands on it first.
That's good old sibling rivalry.
That's some Slytherin behavior.
It is.
My first tattoo was a Harry Potter tattoo. My first boyfriend took me to the Warner Brothers Studios and got me my wand, Ginny Weasley. And now I am a redhead because I am a Weasley.
Yeah, yeah.
Adorable.
I love listening to you guys try to interpret random British things.
Do they say tinned?
I hope that made you laugh. And it makes me laugh so much, especially how you say Shire.
How are you supposed to say it?
I think like you know, Hampshire.
Like Worcestershire sauce.
Like sure?
Yeah, like sure so. Instead of Shire.
But what about the Shire?
Well, that's different. And I loved your travel vlogs in the UK. If you are ever in Canada, I want to whip you up my amazing shepherd's pie yes! and trifle with proper custard.
Where at in the Canada? Are you?
I am interested. Please give my love to your babies, human and non-human, and hope to interact more with you all on Discord. Lots of love, Sam.
Sam,
what was dry about that? It was amazing.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. The fact that you freaking started with Cedric dying.
Yes. I can't even imagine.
I need to know how you coped.
Yeah. And you read Goblet of Fire at the age of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Advanced Woo. Much? Jeez, good for you.
Sam. Well, thank you for your story and for your kind words.
And I hope you're still listening.
You sure are a fine person.
Shut up.
Hey guys, why is it hard to keep a secret in Gringotts?
I don't know, Katie, why?
Because of all the tellers.
Oh, that's good.
If you'd like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie, what?
Nothing. I'm just looking at you. I'm sorry.
What? Put your blinders on.
Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Petrus Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram at TiffSwish_flick. We got a bingo today.
Woo woo!
Congrats to Marguerite. Wait,
No, Margaret, that's not Ann. Marguerite. Marguerite,
sorry, to Gryffindor. Sorry. Margaret Ann Hufflepuff.
Boo!
And so I think that we mentioned this in the beginning of the episode, but it's the start of term.
Welcome, welcome.
And Hufflepuff is in first.
Yeah.
Slytherin is in second.
You guys absolutely, that
Ravenclaw
is bogus.
Is on
You're bogus.
Is in third, and Gryffindor is in fourth.
Smash my laptop. Yeah.
Okay, it's Grinch.
Hi.
That's it. I'm not going. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what to say at this point. What a whirlwind.
This episode's for being down bad, crying in the tent.
Down bad, crying in the tent.
I need more lyrics.
Everything comes out, teenage petulance. Well, there's a lot of swears in that song.
We are not allowed.
I know.
All right. It's for, you know, sad times.
We're going to end. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening.
And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.